So you're no stranger to difficulties and challenges, and you fight back. What motivates then the next giant challenge, which is space travel?
The governments that run space travel were not interested in you or me going to the moon. You know, they've only, China, Russia, and America have only put 500 people into space since space travel began. And I want to go to the moon. I want to go to space, and I don't want to. And so I thought, you know, let's embark on trying to build our own spaceship. And so, you know, it's been a longer voyage than I thought it would be. I thought we'd be able to get it done quicker. But it's going to be all the more satisfying when we pull it off, hopefully later this year.
Welcome to the Spartan Up podcast with Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan Race.
We are talking about overcoming obstacles. The same way we teach people to get over obstacles on the course, we will teach you here on the Spartan Up podcast to get over obstacles in your mind.
In 2014, Joe DeSena and I recorded one of the first interviews for Spartan Up podcast. It was with Richard Branson on his island. One of the things he talked about was his vision for a flight into space. Even then, Branson was talking about what a difficult journey it had been and all the obstacles he and his team had overcome so far. We now know the journey became much more challenging later that year. It's so exciting to see this incredible accomplishment come to fruition more than 6 years later. We decided to revisit the original interview with Richard Branson. Take note of his unique lessons about resilience, about fitness, about goals, about leadership, and about grit. And let us know what you think it is about his character that drove him to see this mission through. This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Loran Oils. After your next workout, help soothe tired muscles with Loran's affordable, quality-tested, 100% pure botanical essential oils. Visit loranoils.com, that's LORANNOILS.com, today, and get 15% off site-wide when you use the code SPARTAN15 at checkout.
Great news. I just swam to Richard Branson's private island. He's agreed to an interview, and you're going to love it.
All right. Well, Richard Branson here. We're on Spartan Up, the podcast. Thanks for inviting us down to your island. This island is unbelievable. So it looks like you always go out of your comfort zone, right? Coming onto an island that was completely deserted, no fresh water. You didn't even have the money to buy it. And now you're sleeping on a tent on the beach trying to figure out how to get fresh water here. You do that often. You did it with the airlines.
I mean, I was just somebody that experienced the bad experience of traveling on airlines. I was actually trying to get to the BVI, the British Virgin Islands, one day from Puerto Rico, and American Airlines bumped the flight. And so I went to the back of the airport. I hired a plane. I hired a blackboard. I wrote Virgin Airlines one way, $29 to the BVI, went around all the people who had been bumped, and I filled my first plane. And that got me thinking, you know, that airlines do bump people. They don't care about you or me, particularly in the air. And so I then rang up Boeing and said, do you have any secondhand 747s?
No kidding. I mean, it was literally that you just sat in the airport and said, I'm starting an airline right now because I'm frustrated.
Exactly. And I think most of the best entrepreneurial ideas come out of frustration. I think, you know, if you're frustrated about something, the best way of sorting it out is get out and do it, and you've got yourself a business.
So out of your comfort zone, right, in a brand new industry, probably going up against British Airways, American Airlines at that time. How tough was that? And how long was that? A decade? A couple of decades? How?
Well, I was about 32 when we bought the first 747, and you know, I remember, you know, sitting down with Sir Freddie Laker, who had been driven out of business by British Airways, and he said, you know, just three words you've got to remember when you're taking on British Airways, and that is, sue the bastards. And very quickly, I realized that BA, you know, were determined to put us out of business. They threw everything they could at us. You know, they illegally accessed our computer information. They rang up our passengers pretending to be from Virgin when they were actually from BA, telling them that our flights were cancelled and switching them to BA. They went through my rubbish bins looking for incriminating evidence. They went to our nightclubs looking into our rubbish bins there to see if they could find any needles so they could, you know, spread stories about drugs in our clubs. I mean, it was extraordinary the lengths this so-called upper crust British company went to get rid of its competitor. And we took them to court, and we won the biggest damages in history, and we distributed it to all our staff at Christmas time, and it was known as the British Airways Christmas bonus, and it was a great fillip for the staff, and it shut British Airways up. They now compete with us fairly, toughly, but not in the underhand way they used to do.
So you're no stranger to difficulties and challenges, and you fight back. What motivates then the next giant challenge, which is space travel?
You weren't bumped off a flight to the moon.
No, I wasn't bumped off a flight to the moon, but the governments that run space travel were not interested in you or me going to the moon. They've only, China, Russia, and America have only put 500 people into space since space travel began. And I want to go to the moon. I want to go to space, and I don't want to. So I thought, let's embark on trying to build our own spaceship. It's been a longer voyage than I thought it would be. I thought we'd be able to get it done quicker. But it's going to be all the more satisfying when we pull it off, hopefully later this year. And we've got, 300 wonderful engineers beavering away in the Mojave Desert. They've created a beautiful spaceship, beautiful mothership, beautiful spaceport. We've got nearly 800 astronauts in waiting. It'll be the most exciting thing I've done in my lifetime. And the rush of just the first journey. I mean, we're going to go from 0 to 3,500 miles an hour in 7.5 seconds. So it's going to be, some trip.
Awesome. And you're the first. You're going to go up first?
Yeah, I plan to go up first, hopefully with my children. Maybe hopefully not with my daughter, because I'm hoping she'll be pregnant. But if she's not pregnant, she's definitely coming with my son as well.
And do they know they're first?
Yeah. No, fortunately they've taken more after myself than my wife. I'm quite an adventurous person, and they're also very adventurous. We've done wonderful adventures together. We climbed Mont Blanc last year. We kite surfed across the English Channel together. We ran the marathon together. And then in a couple of months' time, we're setting off on a great adventure together in Europe, which ends up climbing the Matterhorn. So we have some incredible adventures together. And I suspect, when we look back at things, it's those adventures that are actually more satisfying than anything else we've done in our lives together. I mean, it's just great to be able to have those incredible experiences with your adult children.
So that's a big discussion within the Spartan community. Our 4 million Spartans will sometimes discuss how hard is too hard with children. We've got a lot of parents in the community, and I push my kids pretty hard because I want to get out and do things like you suggested, marathons. How hard is too hard? Your kids are now in their 20s.
They're in their 20s. I mean, let me tell you a story, there was a 15-year-old Australian girl who decided that she wanted to sail around the world on her own. Her parents were absolutely being crucified by the Australian press for allowing this girl to do this. And I actually intervened and said, look, there aren't many people in their lifetime that can have this kind of opportunity. Let her do it. If she doesn't come back, she would have had the most incredible life, more incredible than almost anybody else on earth. Let her do it. And she ended up doing it. And of course, you know, because she came back, her parents were then became heroes. I mean, they would have been zeros if she hadn't come back, but they were absolute heroes as long alongside her. The press completely forgot about the fact that they'd, you know, that they'd been crucifying them. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's awful when one of these things go wrong and somebody comes to grief. But I think those people who push themselves beyond their limits get much more out of life. And those people who say yes rather than watching other people do it, and it's worth, you know, it's worth the risk.
And you know, Ed Visters, mountaineer, says getting to the top is optional. When he's climbing a mountain, getting down is mandatory. So when you talk about that, because I'm a big believer, we're big believers in pushing the limits and being completely out of. I was out of my comfort zone this morning. How far is too far?
Well, you know, in business, four words are very important, and that's protecting the downside. And when you're embarking on a personal adventure, those four words are even more important. Protecting the downside is effectively protecting your life. So you'd be irresponsible if you embark on a grand adventure not to have thought through, what if the balloon goes into the sea? What if you end up in a mountain? What if? And so, if you're trying to do something for the first time, it is very likely that things are going to go wrong, because otherwise it would have been done before. But it's critical that you do everything you can to survive. And if in the end you don't survive, you know, it's critical that you know that you did it. You know, you gave it your absolute best shot to come back and tell the tale.
You can talk yourself out of doing something, right? If you protect the downside, and you have to look at what if. But you could easily, if you do that too long, say, you know what, this is just not worth it. So there's that balance, right? Where
if you talk yourself out of it. Fair enough. You know, I mean, there was one occasion where I should have talked myself out of something. I mean, I arrived in Las Vegas and I was, you know, any time I launch a new company, there's a stunt prepared for me. And I was told I was going to jump off a building that was 100 stories high, which in itself is okay. But the wind was about 50 miles an hour, and I didn't have the guy I normally use as my stuntman with me. And as I was going up the lift to the top of this building, the Palms, I just felt incredibly uncomfortable. And I didn't know these people, and I just said to them, look, I'm really sorry. I need to go back to a room just to think about this. And they said, well, look, all the press are waiting on the top. I said, you know, I just want to go back to the room to think about it. So I went back to the room and I paced up and down trying to think, what am I going to do? And somebody came in and said, look, the press just want to take a picture of you on the roof. And, you know, I knew straight away I was going to make the wrong decision. I mean, the moment I was on that roof, I knew I was going to jump. So anyway, I went up to the roof. There was quite a high wall all around the top of the roof. And somebody said, you know, look, there's no wind. And I went, oh, well, I know why there's no wind, but okay, all right, I'll jump. So I jumped, and the wind slammed me into the building halfway down. I arrived at the bottom. I mean, fortunately, it was my backside that hit the building. Thick pair of jeans like this, completely to tatters, my bum raw, blood everywhere. And I just felt like a rag doll. I felt so stupid. So sometimes sometimes your better instincts, you've got to listen to them. And you know, if you keep questioning something and you feel the risks are unacceptably high, you've got to be man enough to say no.
Pull the plug. Yeah. So give us a failure in life outside of business. Whether it was the round the world balloon attempt or.
In our attempt to be First of all, the first across the Atlantic in a hot air balloon, then the Pacific, and then trying to be the first around the world in a hot air balloon. I mean, we had many failures on the way. In fact, I think I got picked out of the sea 5 times by helicopters. But nobody had done it before. And so if you're going to attempt something that hasn't been done before, you're going to have to accept it's difficult. And there were some frighteningly sweaty moments. But we somehow managed to, protect the downside and survive, at least get home. But we did get the record for the first Atlantic crossing, the first Pacific crossing. We came to within one day of being the first to go around the world in a balloon, and we just hit a blanket wall of air just off America, and the balloon just, flying at 100 feet wouldn't go through this wall of air, flying at 35,000 feet it wouldn't go through this wall, and we ended up crashing in the sea just off Hawaii on Christmas Day. Fortunately being rescued by helicopter. And it didn't matter. I mean, it's somebody else, a few months later managed to go the whole way around the world. This satisfaction we got was from, trying these things, from these incredible adventures. I mean, we've flown over the Atlas Mountains. We've flown over Mount Everest, K2, in the journey. A completely ridiculous journey of a lifetime. And I remember actually saying the day before, we thought we were going to get the record. Somehow, I didn't say it. I was going to sleep. I remember thinking it. If we succeed, it's almost too good.
It was so awesome.
It didn't matter. It was almost like, I almost felt like we would have been spoiled to have succeeded because life's been so bloody good anyway. So somehow it was the right justice that we ended up in the sea and somebody completely unknown then beat us to it.
So sometimes, I wonder all the time, is it the journey all the time that's more important?
I think it's the planning that it's thinking up the journey. It's the camaraderie of the team working to try to make it possible. It's the technological challenge. No balloon had ever flown at 40,000 foot before. The highest a balloon had been was sort of 8,000 feet. Could you fly in the jet stream? Would the jet stream break up your balloon? it was the team spirit of being there with just one other person and for days on end and having to deal with the balance of relationships. And it was the physical, being mentally and physically fit for it. It's living life to its full.
All right. Well, let's go right into morning routine. What do you do in the morning? I saw you were sweating early this morning. Every time I see you, you're working out like a Spartan. People want a blueprint in our community on how to tackle their day.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Loran Oils. Put your best foot forward in competition and make your recovery essential. Loran's 100% pure botanical essential oils are optimal for athletes looking for natural and holistic approaches when it comes to wellness and supporting performance. Spartans, are intense workouts burning you out? You can give your mind and body self-care and rest with Loran's essential oils. As you train, stretch, and meditate, use their 100% pure botanical oils in diffusers, roller balls, massage oils, or lotions. Help boost overworked muscles and promote relaxation and focus so you can crush your race day goals. Loran's origins are in pharmacy, and they have been a trusted supplier for over 50 years to home consumers, spas, massage therapists, and personal care manufacturers, always offering essential and base oils, waxes, and natural butters at affordable prices. Their quality-tested oils are obtained through cold press or steam distillation. There's no alcohol, added solvents, or other diluting agents. Loran's essential oils are perfect for your active rest days, or for baking and cooking for your plant-forward needs. Their food-grade oils can add great flavors and great aromas to your favorite nutritious recipes as you fuel up train, and recover. Remember, you can save 15% off site-wide with your next purchase. Just use the code SPARTAN15 at checkout. Go to loranoils.com. That's LORANNOILS.com. And don't forget to use that code SPARTAN15.
What do you do in the morning? I saw you were sweating early this morning. Every time I see you, you're working out like a Spartan. People want a blueprint in our community on how to tackle their day.
Well, look, first of all, I've always felt that you've got to be fit. So, if you're fit, you can achieve anything. You know, that wonderful feeling of the endorphins, you know, screaming through your body. I mean, what better way of starting the day? So, I mean, my own personal way of getting fit is, you know, I wake up, really early every day. And I play tennis with somebody who's a lot younger and a lot fitter than me, and we play singles. And you know, we give it everything we can, and you know, end up sweating big time and having a lot of fun at this as well. And then if the wind is up, you know, I'll go for a kite surf. Kiting's a lovely way just to get away from the mobile phones and just get out on the sea, and then after that come back, have a sort of nice healthy breakfast generally. So sometimes not so healthy.
Found your kryptonite.
And then I'm ready. Then I'm ready for the day. And I'm lucky. I work. I've always worked from home. I work on this beautiful island. I've got my delightful, very very small team here. And we'll get work done. We always have interesting people on the island. I met you on the island a few months ago. So I mean, there's always interesting people to learn from. And then in the evening, back on the tennis court. I mean, I just love doing finding fun ways of keeping fit. And then if I'm not on the island, quite often we'll set, every year we set ourselves a challenge. So, and by setting ourselves a challenge, and normally it's a family challenge, you then have to spend the 3 months, getting fit for that challenge. And, so I think, I think having a challenge to aim for is always great.
That's our big push in Spartan is, we ask people to sign up for 3 races a year, because I know that then starts a whole slew of dominoes into effect, right? That got to wake up, don't have that extra glass of wine, go to bed a little earlier. And without that, it is hard to stay motivated.
No, I mean, look, I ran the marathon a couple of years ago. I mean, I hadn't done any running for years. The first time I ran a mile, I thought, how am I ever going to get, 26 miles? Then you build up to the 2 miles, 4 miles, whatever. And suddenly your fitness just comes back. It's just fantastic. And, I remember running up a hill the other side with somebody half my age behind, and I just somehow got really fit, and I was tearing up this hill. Admittedly, every time I got to the ledge, I would then quickly walk for a few things, waiting for, and then start running again, trying to just knock him out behind, just demoralize him. But anyway, it's as long as you don't have any knee injuries, which obviously is the bugger for all these things. Then it almost doesn't matter what age you are. You can train your body to do pretty well anything, I think.
There's a lot of executives. There's almost like a negative correlation where you see executives aren't that fit in general. I don't know if you see that. You might not see it on the island, but we see it. And I don't think they realize that, and I think you agree with me, a healthy mind comes from living inside a healthy body. And maybe they feel they don't have the time. Maybe there's too many cocktail parties. What kind of advice could you give to executives?
Look, they've just got to look after themselves. I mean, it's and just try to find fun ways of doing it. And I mean, you can skip cocktail parties. I mean, once you've done a few, they're not that much fun. I mean, but it's a hell of a lot of fun getting fit and getting healthy. If you are fit and healthy, A, you're going to, perform in your life many, many years longer than you would otherwise. Secondly, whilst you're relatively young, you're going to perform a hell of a lot better. You're going to feel better. You're going to look better. You're going to be that much more successful. And it's just worth finding an hour or two a day for yourself.
If you had to pick one secret to success, one thing that the Spartan community could do to help them in their job, help them in their business, help them with their life, what would it? Is it being fit? Is it taking stepping out of your comfort zone? Is it? What do you think it would be that really has kept you on track?
Looking for the best in other people. I find throughout my life, by never thinking ill of other people, by looking for the best, by praising other people, by even people who have been written off by most people, there's always something special you can find in other people, and life's short, and the world is much smaller than one realizes, and you're going to come across people time and time again in the most surprising places, and I've found that just by hopefully never falling out with anybody, life's that much more enjoyable and special. And as a leader, it's even more critical to be out there motivating, praising, inspiring.
So avoid holding a grudge and don't burn any bridges. And
yeah, I think if you do fall out with somebody in life, and even if you think it's their fault, just give them a ring, go out to lunch with them. This could be your ex-partner, your ex-wife, and befriend them, and you'll just find. I mentioned early on in the interview, our battle with British Airways and the lengths they went to put us out of business. After we'd won the court case, I made a point of ringing the chairman of British Airways and inviting him out to lunch, and saying, let's shake hands. And in fact, let's go further than that. Let's set up a charity together. And in the last 10 years of his life, we became good friends. We did good things together. We put a bad moment behind us. And it was definitely the right thing to do. And I find that people who take that attitude, are that much happier for it.
That could be one of the rarest qualities out there. There's not too many people could drop their ego and do that. So,
give you one example. I mean, I'm very fortunate to know Archbishop Tutu and Nelson Mandela, and they did this in a much bigger scale. I mean, they basically said, when they took control of South Africa, rather than doing what, say, America would do, which would be to execute our enemies, we will hold truth and reconciliation commissions, where people who'd committed atrocities against the black man will come, they will apologize, they will embrace, and they will be forgiven. And in that way, they managed to mend their country, and South Africa is now, a wonderful country of black and white people working together, playing together, marrying together, and the past has been put behind them.
Powerful, because even if no one watched this interview, which is not going to be the case, I've got a few things going on in my life that very hard for me to, I'm pretty competitive. I'm sure you're competitive. And so that would probably be my biggest challenge. But listening to you, it obviously works. Mm-hmm. If you can get past, right, the past. Yeah. Life's short, you're right.
And people will be suspicious. I mean, if you ring up, somebody you've fallen out with, and, they're initially, they're going to want to know you know, why it is that you want to see them for lunch, and you know, what's the axe you've got to grind, and you just you know, anyway, so it, but you know, but you've just got to get through that and
get past and it and
get
move
past
on
that and move on, exactly.
Move on. All right, you told me you invested in over 300 businesses last time we spoke. Just a little joke. Was it 300 because of the 300 Spartans, maybe? Or is
well, I'll tell you one thing just to put it in perspective. I was doing an interview on stage the other day, and Larry Page from Google was doing the interview with me, and he introduced me to the audience and said, you know, this Richard, he's invested in 300 companies. I've only invested in one. And I just said, I'll swap.
Good point.
But anyway, look, we certainly don't have all 300 companies are nowhere near as big as Google, but we've had a lot of fun doing it. We've learned a lot because of the variety of different, you know, different things that we've done.
Well, what do you look for?
In the past, we only went into a business if we felt we could make a difference to people's lives, a positive difference, and that nobody else was doing it properly properly themselves. Now, most of the things I do are not-for-profit ventures. So, you know, we've set up, you know, with Nelson Mandela and Archbishop Tutu, an organization called The Elders that go into conflict regions and try to resolve conflicts. We've set up something called the Carbon War Room to try to address the problems of global warming. We set up something called the Oceanic Elders to help protect the species in the oceans that are being decimated. Global Drug Commission to try to change government's approach to the war on drugs and get them to treat drugs as a health problem, not a criminal problem, and so on. So we've got a number of, you know, not-for-profits, which is what I put most of my energy into today. But we run them just like businesses. It's just that we don't take any money out of them.
When you're investing and now they've got really good altruistic motives, what do you look for in that individual that's running that nonprofit or that business? What you're betting on that person, right? You can't run physically yourself 300 businesses. So
basically we look for somebody who's a great motivator of people, somebody who's a good listener. You know, there are too many leaders in life who want to hear themselves and not want to draw out the other people. I mean, you know what you know. You don't need to hear yourself. And I think, you know, I think the best leaders are leaders who are great listeners. By the way, since Spartan is the name of your company, do you know what the word decimated, what the meaning of the word decimated?
Well, I know it's to be completely destroyed, but something
so interestingly, nowadays people think it's completely destroy. But decimated was actually something that happened if a Roman legion lost a battle, they would line up all the men, and 1 in 10 had their heads chopped off to make sure they fought. The remaining 9 fought harder the next time. So
decimated.
Desi is 10, and it was pretty. Yeah, for those that had their heads chopped off, it was definitely decimated.
Wow, I don't know how much we touched on it. Let's switch to the children again, because I have 4 children I'm raising, and I read somewhere, I don't know if it was your mom did it with you or you did it with your children, where you dropped them off a couple of miles from the house and they had to make their way. Was that you?
No, it was my mom.
your mom did it to you. And so how far should we push as parents with stuff like that, like dropping them off, having them find their own way?
Well, my mom would have been arrested today if she'd done that. But she was a great believer in, you know, she wouldn't let us watch television. We had to be out there doing things. If she felt it was reasonably safe and we were too miles from somewhere, she'd push us out of the car and tell us to, you know, make our own way there. And if we got lost, you know, she'd make sure that she had a backup plan. So, and life was that much more fun. You know, she'd put us on a bike and tell us to ride 100 miles, you know, somewhere.
It made you the way you are. You think that made the fabric, the DNA?
I think it definitely helped, you know, and, you know, yes, there's always a risk when parents do that with their kids, but you know, the alternative of wrapping them up in cotton wool, you know, not letting them get out and play, is very sad.
Well,
and there goes the lecture.
Thank you. And can we not put the shark back in the water when I swim out of here?
I will think about that.
Thank right, you. Cheers. Thanks.
Look, I spent all my life trying to protect sharks. So don't make sharks sound so bad.
I've been afraid of sharks for a long time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Spartan Up Podcast. Spartan Up is your partner in resilience for mind, body, and spirit. We're here 3 days every week. Tuesdays, you can find Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan, interviewing biohackers, business leaders, authors, and athletes. Thursdays and Saturdays, catch episodes from our DECA, Endurance, Trail, Combat, and La Ruta series. Do you know someone who needs a little nudge? Maybe they could use some motivation, tactics, to be stronger, healthier, happier, more successful. Tell them about our show. And if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment. We want to know who's watching and who's listening. Thanks. See you next time. This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Loran Oils. After your next workout, help soothe tired muscles with Loran's affordable, quality-tested, 100% pure botanical essential oils. Visit loranoils.com, that's LORANNOILS.com today, and get 15% off site-wide when you use the code SPARTAN15 at checkout.